You know, I'm really excited about 2009 and what God has in store for each and every single one of us. Started a mini-series several weeks ago called A Taste of the Divine in 2009. And you know, God is divine. And God this year wants to give you a taste of His goodness. 2008 might have been tough for you. Maybe some disappointments, missed opportunities. Maybe a relationship that you should have worked on that you never did. Or maybe a job opportunity that you should have taken but it slipped through your hands. Or maybe an educational path that you didn't take that you could have taken. And maybe today you're living with some regret. I could have, I would have, I should have. But my friend, my word of encouragement to you today is this. Leave the I could haves, I would haves, I should haves where they belong. They belong in the past. Let's go forward starting today with the good thing, the great thing that God has for us in 2009. You know, God has got a miracle in store for you. He's got financial provision in store. He's got health in place of sickness, peace in place of turmoil. He's got deliverance for you from drugs and alcohol, from wrong relationships. You know, He's got a plan and a purpose for every one of your lives. You may have been told in the past that you're an accident. But whoever said that was speaking inspired of the enemy, because the devil is a liar and the father of lies. You're not an accident. You're on this earth with a purpose. You're in the kingdom of God for a purpose. God has got something wonderful in store for you this year, starting at the beginning of this year. And the last week we studied the conversion experience of Saul from Acts 9 verses 1 through 6. You know, he was breathing out murderous threats against the Christians. He was persecuting those who followed Jesus Christ. And in Acts 9 verses 1 through 6, we read that he was going to Damascus when a bright light from heaven blinded him and threw him to the ground. And he heard the voice of Jesus, which said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" In Acts 9:4. And Saul responds, "Who are you, Lord?" And in verse 5, Jesus says, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." And then Paul asks a key question in Acts 9:6. And the King James Version has it this way, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Modern English, what was Saul saying? He was saying, "Jesus, what do you want me to do with my life?" You know, I think this question of Saul, "Jesus, what do you want me to do with my life?" indicated a heart change in Saul. See, at one time, Saul was in charge of his own life. He was persecuting Christians. He was a man in charge. He thought he was doing God a favor. But that question, "What, Jesus, do you want me to do with my life?" indicated that Saul was now the one no longer in charge of his life. He was saying now, "Jesus, you are the one in charge of my life. Jesus, do with my life as you please. Jesus, you sit in the driver's seat of my life. Be my Lord, be my ruler." He had a tremendous conversion experience. You know, after Saul asked Jesus, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" in Acts 9:6, somewhere between verses 7 and 19, guess what? Jesus responded. He communicated to Saul what he wanted Saul to do. And basically, it was to bring the gospel to the lost. I encourage you, friend, this year, at the beginning of the year, to ask the same question. "Lord Jesus, what is it that I should do with my life? God, what do you want me to do with my life starting this year?" And I encourage you, if you ask God that question, Jesus will respond. Keep your spiritual ears open to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to you concerning your life. Let's say it together. Jesus, what do you want me to do with my life? And friend, I encourage you, Jesus will respond. At this point, we pick up in Acts 9, verse 19. Middle of the verse. 19 through 29. Acts 9, 19 through 29. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him, but Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. Verse 25. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. We'll go one more verse. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Now in verse 6, Saul asks, Jesus, what do you want me to do with my life? And we see that starting in verse 20, Saul did what? We see that Saul started taking steps, maybe baby steps, towards fulfilling the plan that God had for his life, which was to bring the gospel to the lost, to the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles. So for the next few minutes, I want to talk about fulfilling what God has for you starting early this year. How can you fulfill what God has for your life starting early? At the beginning of this year. First question to ask is what? And it takes humility. God, what do you want me to do with my life? And after that, you start doing what? Start taking the first steps. Saul took the first steps in Acts 9, verses 20 through 30. What were those first steps? He went to the Jews in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Son of God, the very gospel that he opposed at the beginning of Acts 9 is the gospel he is now supporting. And then he went to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus Christ and spreading the gospel. And both times, in Damascus and in Jerusalem, they tried to kill Saul. But Saul was doing what? He was taking steps towards the plan and the purpose that God had for his life. And my friend, my word of encouragement to you is this. Start taking steps toward God's plan for your life. Ask him what he wants you to do. And I guarantee when you ask, he will speak. See, it doesn't profit anything if you just ask and don't do anything. You've got to ask, but once you hear what God wants you to do, start taking those baby steps. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I received an email a number of years ago, and I want to read it today. It's called The Number One Step to Accomplishing Your Goals. All right. Finally, the day had arrived. Jennifer had been training for months, and now her hard work would be put to good use. Her body was in shape. Her mind was crisp. She was ready. Well, almost. She couldn't find the right pair of shoes. At this particular race, there was a large locker room full of every type of running shoe in the world. Jennifer was trying on shoes but could not find the perfect ones. The race was about to begin, but she didn't want to run if everything wasn't perfect. For Jennifer, if everything wasn't perfect, she didn't want to start the race. "Tell them just five more minutes," she told the officials. "I'll be right there." She wasn't. Jennifer tore through the stacks of shoes. One was too tight. The next one was too loose. One pair fit right, but she didn't like the colors. "We have to start the race, Jen," her coach walked out of the room shaking his head. As she was trying on a pair of green shoes, she heard the starter's gun pop. The race started without her. When she heard that shot, Jennifer stopped looking for the perfect shoes. Jennifer waited for everything to be perfect, and in doing so, let opportunity start and finish without her. You must take action if you want to reach your goals. No dream will come true if you don't do something to make it so. If you wait for the perfect situation, you may be waiting forever. Don't let the race start without you. Take action today. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. You will always have reasons why you must put it off until another time. Stop giving yourself excuses and give yourself a chance to succeed. And that might be you. You might be waiting for just the right time when everything is just right, just perfect. But if you keep waiting, you may not fulfill what God has in store for your life. Things are not going to be perfect. The situations around you are not going to be just right. But in the midst of the unright situations, in the midst of imperfect circumstances, start taking steps anyway. I mean, Saul, look at Saul. He didn't have a perfect relationship with Christ when he started preaching the gospel in Damascus, but he took the steps anyway, right? Just start taking the steps, friends. You know, I talked about this last week. I want to repeat it today. I attended Oral Roberts University back in 92 and came home from school one day in January of 92. We'll back up from there. And my dad brought me to his office and said, God spoke to me and said that you're to go to Oral Roberts University and do your undergraduate degree there. Felt good about it. Felt a peace on the inside. So I started taking steps. Guess what the first step was? My dad told me almost immediately. My first step was I got on the phone. I called Oral Roberts University and said, I'd like to apply to the school. And I said, can I get an academic scholarship? And they said, well, what was your SAT score? It's a college entrance exam. And I gave it to them. And they said, well, you're about 20 points short. If you take the exam again in April of 92, we'll give you the scholarship if you get the 20 points. So my second step was what? Was to take the SAT exam again in April of 92. I took it, and friend, I kid you not, I got those 20 points exactly. Not more, not less. I got the academic scholarship. I took another step. Between April and August of 92, I was preparing to leave to come to Oral Roberts University. I was living in New Jersey at the time on the East Coast. I was preparing. I took another step in August of 92. I boarded a plane in New Jersey, and I flew to Tulsa. Got oriented and began my degree study program. I was studying practical theology for 4 years, and I completed the course. But in order to get to Oral Roberts University and begin studying and finishing that course, I had to do what? At first, I had to take baby steps to get to the university and start my education. And if I could do it, friend, you can do it as well. You can do it as well. You've got to ask, God, what are you wanting me to do with my life? And once he speaks, start walking. Today I want to talk about the second hand. That's the subtitle of this series. The second hand. You know, Saul, in his ministry, had a character quality called faithfulness. Let me ask you this today. What is faithfulness? What does the word faithfulness mean to you?
Obedience.
Okay, obedience. That's good. Anybody else? What does the word faithfulness mean? Go ahead, sir.
Trusting in the now.
Trusting in the now. Okay, anybody else? Having a heart, okay.
To help you move forward.
What's that?
To help you move forward.
To help you move forward, that's good. Anybody else?
Somebody gives instructions you follow.
All right. Faithfulness is this. This is the way I define it. It's a consistent steadiness to a course of action without quitting. Should I say it again? A consistent steadiness to a course of action without quitting. I call it the second hand quality. Why? I've got a watch on my wrist. And on this watch is a second hand. It ticks consistently. 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, 24 hours a day. This second hand on this watch ticks consistently without stopping. I could be underwater, and guess what? The second hand ticks. I could be outside where it's cold or hot, and guess what? The second hand ticks. I could be inside a room where there's noise and chaos, and guess what? The second hand consistently ticks. It doesn't matter what the situations or the circumstances are around the second hand, it continues to tick. This second hand, if you would, is faithful. It ticks and ticks and ticks and ticks. In order to move towards the goal, towards God's plan for your life this year, you've got to have this second hand quality. You know, friend, in walking out God's goal for your life, short-term goals and long-term goals, you are going to have some mountaintop experiences. You know, when you're having those great experiences, when things are going well, it's easy to run towards God's plan for your life. But when things get rough and tough, it's not as easy to consistently tick. But I encourage you today to keep your eyes on the prize. And if you could keep your eyes on the goal, you will continue to tick consistently like that second hand. You know, now going back to that illustration of me going to ORU, I had some great times at Oral Roberts University. When I got there in 92, I built some great relationships in 92, 93. I learned a lot about the Bible. It was awesome. But I also had some low times, some valley experiences. I had culture shock. I was missing my friends and my family. I had stress, and sometimes I felt like it was academically overloaded. And friend, I'm telling you, there were times I felt like quitting, but my eyes were on the prize. The prize, the goal was that God wants me here at Oral Roberts University for 4 years to study and to receive a degree in practical theology. So I kept my eyes on the goal, and I ticked consistently. And friend, as you start walking out God's call for your life, God's plan, God's purpose for you, there's going to be some great times, but there's going to be some really low and difficult times. Don't give up when the going gets tough. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Now, remember this. Quitters focus on the problem. They focus on the problem. They see the hard times, the hardships. They get negative, they get pessimistic, and they're like, you know what, this is not worth it. And they give up. But winners focus on the prize, regardless of the problems around them. It's not always going to be easy. It will be tough at times as you pursue what God is wanting you to do. But keep your eyes on the prize, and you will see the reward on the other side, friends. In Jesus' name. And He'll give you the strength to persevere and not to quit and not to give up. In Jesus' name. Paul went through some really hard times. If anybody had reasons to quit, it was this man, Saul, whose name was later changed to Paul, the apostle. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. Talks a little about his experiences. And this is again from the NIV. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? And when you read that passage, it could be a little depressing, right? But if there's anybody who had reasons to quit while pursuing his call, God's call on his life, it was Paul the Apostle. Beaten, in prison, hungry, without sleep. He had reasons to give up. But no, right? Why didn't he give up? Because he had his eyes on the prize. He had this character quality called faithfulness. The second-hand quality, he kept ticking and ticking and ticking consistently without stopping. And if you read on through Acts, if you read on Paul's epistles, you'll find out that he brings the gospel to the Gentiles. He establishes churches. He plants churches in Asia Minor. He fulfills God's calling for his life. He does all that God asked him to do. Now imagine when it got tough for Paul if he gave up and quit. He never would have brought the gospel to the Gentiles that God had for him ordained to bring to. He never would have planted those churches. But since he was faithful, he did it. Amen?
Amen?
Souls were saved, people were brought into the kingdom of God, and churches were established. Amen. And friends, I encourage you with the same. Find out what God is wanting you to do. Start taking baby steps, and once you start taking those steps, you'll start running with God. And once you start running with God, you'll come to the point where you're flying with God, fulfilling exactly what He's got for you to do. But remember the quality, the character quality called faithfulness, the second-hand quality. Ticking and ticking and ticking. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. In Jesus' name. Keep on keeping on. Amen? I encourage you with that this year, friend. I encourage you with it. Write the goal down. What is it that God is telling you to do? Habakkuk 2:2. Write it down on tablets of stone. Today we'll say write it down on paper. Say, just write it down. This is what God is wanting me to do at this time in my life. Post it where you can see it on a door. You know, in your Bible. And just keep looking at the prize. Just keep running towards it. You know? And you will fulfill. You will be satisfied at the end of 2009. I mean, how do you want 2009 to end for you? In satisfaction or in regret? I want 2009 to end in my life with satisfaction. How about you? Then do consistently what God is calling you to do. Through the thick and the thin. Keep on keeping on in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
The second-hand quality.